Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Plastics. We depend on plastics for so many things on this planet. In 2016, Jor, world plastics production totaled 335 million metric tons. Half of that plastic designed for a single use, and then it's trashed. Human beings buy about 1 million plastic bottles every minute.
Oh, boy.
23% of plastic bottles are recycled here in the U.S. 50 billion water bottles in the USA every year. That is just staggering. And these plastics were designed to last seemingly forever. So what can we do? We know we have a problem. Much of that plastic winds up in our oceans in addition to our landfills. And I was very gratified to see that the University of Minnesota is on the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, of trying to design polymers that self-destruct, that break down after use. Leading the charge, Dr. Mark Hillmeyer. He is a professor at the College of Science and Engineering and director for the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Hillmeyer, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
So tell our listeners a little bit more. How do you make a plastic that is durable when you need it and then ensure that it breaks down when you don't need it after you use it?
Yeah, this is a grand challenge in the field because we rely on plastics and benefit from their durability and their ability to protect our foods and last a long time. And so we have this desire to have the plastics perform at a very high level until we don't want them to perform at a high level and we want them to degrade. So what you have to really work on is the fundamental aspects of the molecules, they're called polymers, that go into these plastics, and try to understand how to design the molecules in a way such that, for example, if they experienced heat treatment or excessive heat treatment, you can shine light on them or some triggered response. That way, if they do get out into the environment, they have a mechanism to degrade. But this is a tough challenge, and we're trying to take that on here in the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the University of Minnesota. And it really takes a good deal of molecule bending and molecule making.
Unzipping. I saw that term. How do you unzip a molecule?
Right. It's interesting. There are some polymers that when you make them, they remain stable for a long time, no matter what you do to them. But in some cases, you can design a polymer that, upon the action of a trigger like a light or heat, they'll start to go back to their starting components, and they'll literally go back to the small molecules. Polymers are big molecules. Small molecules from which they came. And then you could collect those small molecules in principle and then make a new plastic out of them. And that's called chemical recycling. It's very different from the mechanical recycling that we're typically used to, where we would take a plastic bottle and then grind it up and then reprocess it through an extruder. This is actually going back to the starting materials so that we could make the virgin plastic again.
Professor, okay. It's Jordana, Paul's partner here. Okay, so you say you can get the plastic down to its original molecules or original polymers. Does that make it go away or just make it smaller that we then have to deal with on the planet?
No, there's really two paths, actually. One is going back to the smaller molecules, and those are actually called monomers, not polymers.
Okay.
Those are one unit, and polymer means many units. And so you go back to the monomers, and those molecules have value because they can be repolymerized into the same polymer again, and you could use it again. A different strategy is actually where you make a polymer such that it has degradable linkages that, when in the environment, that the action of water and heat and microbes can actually break the molecules down to the same kinds of monomeric units, but then things like bacteria can use them as food, and ultimately you generate carbon dioxide and water. So that's the other kind of strategy, is making biodegradable polymers where the end result is carbon dioxide and water and not the monomers from which you came.
How far away are we? Just a rough estimate. Give us a prediction when you think we might be at the stage. And I realize this is sort of the holy grail and who's going to get there first. And we certainly hope that your research is critical in that endeavor. But are we a couple of years away, 10 years away? And I mean, the need is now, right?
The need is definitely now, but I don't think there's anybody out there who believes that a polymer like polyethylene, which one the biggest volume polymer made, is going to go away anytime soon. It's simply too cheap and too valuable to so many technologies. But what is happening is that the price of these more bio-friendly polymers, because of technology and because of basic research, continues to come down. And what will happen is when the price starts to become at parity with these petroleum-based and non-degradable materials, you'll start to see more and more uptake in the consumer market. The price drives a lot of this, and that's not going to happen just, you know, out of the blue. We definitely need the research to be able to help the technologies and bring the price down. So what's happening now is that people are more and more adopting these more bio-friendly versions. But whole-scale replacement is simply not going to happen in the near future. But you will get market penetration in the next decade or so in certain key technologies. And I think the ones where you're going to start to see it more and more are this disposable packaging. Because it's unfortunate, as you pointed out in the beginning, it is unfortunate that nearly a third, some estimates say, of this kind of packaging material ends up in the environment, either strewn in the oceans or across the landscape. So it's an ever-present problem.
We're speaking with Professor Mark Hellmeyer. He's at the College of Science and Engineering, director of the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the U of M. Professor, what about corn? Can you make plastics out of corn?
Yeah, corn starch, that has come up. Some of our listeners, is that even viable?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I don't know. There's a corporation here right in Minnesota called NatureWorks, who is really the leader in making a bioplastic that comes from corn. Now, it's not the corn starch they use directly. It's the sugars from the corn that they use in a fermentation process that generates, again, these monomers. And then they get polymerized into a polymer called polylactide. It's called PLA. And you might see this on plastic cups, and it's actually coatings on coffee cups that are compostable. And that actually comes from their primary feedstock is corn. So through the action of biotechnology, being able to do the fermentation to get this molecule called lactic acid and lactide efficiently, you can make this plastic actually pretty cost competitive with other materials. And so it is actually happening right now. Minnesota has led the way in that.
Well, that's encouraging. Well, please keep us posted. And I realize this is a very vexing challenge. But again, I was really excited to see that the U is helping to lead the charge. And we wish you and your colleagues the best at the U. And thank you for joining us today.
Great stuff.
My pleasure. Thank you for talking to me.
That was Dr. Mark Hellmeyer, a professor, College of Science and Engineering, director of the Center for Sustainable Polymers. Smart, smart people will eventually figure this out.
Love that.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.